Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, we didn't even put "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia," in the bulletin, but you knew it right away. Most of you did, and those of you who didn't quickly joined in once Deacon Brad said it. So that's how my sermon starts, so I'm going to try it again, okay? So roll with me. Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia. All right, in previous calls we would bury the alleluias at the beginning of Lent, right? Right before Lent began, we would bury them, and then we'd bring them out. Some churches have that tradition. We don't really do that around here, but you'll notice that throughout the Lenten season, we sing a different acclamation before the gospel text, right? We don't sing alleluia. We keep it out. That's one of those church traditions that we don't talk about much, but it's something that we do. Indeed, we are supposed to stop celebrating for those Lenten Sundays. However, are you aware, if you do the math, the Sundays don't count and the 40 days count? Are you aware of this? Something I didn't think about until I started serving as a pastor and I started like counting out. I'm like, wait a minute. So those Sundays are all mini Easters. So what's this business about burying those alleluias? That's when it got a little bit crazy for me. I'm like, I don't do the math on that one. So we say Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. On that first Easter, just as dawn made the sky grow light, those women went to the tomb and something amazing happened, something that is alleluia worthy. There is a great earthquake, which to most of us, I assume it would be scary. Who here has been in an earthquake? Raise your hand. We're Midwesterners, not a lot of us, hopefully. Yeah, a few of us. Believe it or not, I've been in two earthquakes. One in New York City in a taxi cab. What? And one in Guatemala. And as I was walking up the stairs, I was in a rickety building, and I remember thinking, gosh, I hope there's not an earthquake when we're up here. And then there was. It was only a 4. It wasn't a big deal. But it was just one of those things. They're scary. Things wave a little bit. It feels odd, like you're on the sea or maybe on Lake Superior. I don't know. It is terrifying, though, when you are not expecting it. And here, an angel of the Lord appears along with the earthquake, and that stone that is blocking the tomb gets rolled away. The angel sits atop it and shines like lightning. Like lightning. These are details that in the past I've just glossed over, thought, yeah, well, bright white, that makes sense. That seems godly. But lightning. The angel then tells them, "Do not be afraid," and tells them that Jesus has been raised. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy, and ran to tell the disciples. The story is so simple that there is little more to say. Even so, every year we try, or rather I try, to say something new. This year, for me, there are three details that stand out. First, the detail that that angel shone like lightning. Lightning was the sign of Jupiter, the Roman king of the gods, or Zeus, the Greek god of the sky and father of all the other gods. To Greek and Roman listeners, and to those familiar with those gods, this detail would have stood out. Like lightning signified that this is indeed God. Many would understand that this signaled that Jesus was a God. Okay, secondly, the guards are terrified and the women are not. Did you catch that? In the text, it says, the guards were shook and became like dead men. The guards are more terrified than the women. There's a role reversal here. Jesus, who was dead, is now alive. And the empire, which was alive, is now dead. The guards symbolize the empire. Okay, and thirdly, most importantly, there is no indication in this text from Matthew that the women are going out there to mourn. This was a little shocking to me as I have preached several sermons over the years about the women going out there to mourn. But if you note, they don't have any spices with them, nothing for anointing. There's nothing that indicates that they're going to sit outside the tomb and weep. Some attribute their coming to mourning and great sadness, but there are no descriptions of this mourning behavior. They went to see the tomb. They've had numerous opportunities, direct and indirect, to hear Jesus teaching that he must die and then be raised. So it makes sense that they have faithfully witnessed his accurate teaching about his crucifixion and burial, and they come awaiting the resurrection. What if we wonder about that together? What if those women were going to the tomb to see what the heck Jesus was talking about? How is it going to happen? I can't imagine how that would happen. They may have been whispering along the way. It's no accident that three times in those opening 10 verses and once in the final scene, the verb to see denotes encountering the risen Jesus. They were not going to mourn the defeat and the loss of their Rabboni. They were going to see how it was possible what he promised would be true. Theologian Stanley Hauerwas writes on this, and he does not begin with the sad women carrying spices to anoint a dead body. He says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary believe what Jesus had promised, that after 3 days he will be raised. Because they believe that Jesus has promised this, they go to the tomb after 3 days. Indeed, there is no mention of the spices, no worry about the account of the stone. They go, Matthew says plainly, to see the tomb. No wonder that they retreat with fear and great joy, right? Respect and great joy. What would it be like if we approached each Easter with the same faith? I think for the most part we do. After all, a couple of us chuckled on Good Friday that, you know, every year Jesus dies, you know, like clockwork, Jesus dies, Jesus dies. But we know that we live in the promise that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What if we approached our daily lives with that same faith and certainty? We are given the promise that Jesus lives, that through Jesus, God has conquered death and the grave, and yet we doubt. Again and again, we tell ourselves that we're the ones in control, that we save ourselves. And we know that this isn't true. God has saved us. God loves us so much that God sent his only son to give us new life, not in some far-off future, but in the here and now. Often that new life does not look the way we expect it to. What if our role as Christians was to approach each day with the curiosity that those first women at the tomb displayed? To open our eyes to God's work in our lives by seeking out God. To ask good questions. To wonder when we can't imagine. To look around and say, gosh, what is God up to here? What if we approach the tomb wondering how it could be possible, but having faith that it is indeed possible? On that first Easter, those women went to the tomb looking to see how Jesus could be raised from the dead. And they did not find answers exactly, but they found hope and promise and love and mission and great joy. As we go out this Easter Sunday, may we look at the world around us with curiosity, with compassion, with kindness, with wonder. And may we find what God shows us, hope, promise, love, mission, and great joy. Go and share the good news. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.